WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have cloudy skies. The snow has stopped for now, and it's 33 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Altogether, we had 2.3 inches of snowfall here in Atlantic, 2 inches of that falling through 7 a.m., an additional 3-tenths of an inch since 7 a.m. And the rain and heavy snow combined for a wet Wednesday evening and Thursday morning here in Atlantic. Again, the 24-hour total of snowfall as of 7 a.m. was 2 inches, but when you combine that heavy wet snow with the rainfall we received late Wednesday and early this morning, the precipitation value was 3.07 inches here in Atlantic. In Messina, Ardell reported 1.75 inches of rain and 1 inch of snow as of 7 a.m. Other reports include Irwin, 4 inches of snow and 2.19 liquid moisture. Oakland had 3 inches of snow, Villisca 2 inches, Clarinda 1.9, Avoca 3 inches of snow, and 2.05 inches of liquid value altogether. If you have any snow or rainfall totals you'd like to report, you can call us at 800-283-5526, 800-283-KJAN, or email kjannews@metc.net. Roads in the listening area are still pretty much 100% completely covered with a mixture of snow, ice, or slush, according to the Iowa DOT's website at 511ia.org. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
I want to remind you also that the Iowa DOT reports this morning just before 8 a.m. that I-80 eastbound in Adair County is currently blocked due to an accident. The road is blocked between exit 88 or County Road P-20 and exit 93, County Road P-28, and that'll be near Menlo. Again, the road is blocked there, I-80 eastbound, due to an accident. The person suspected of stealing a car late Tuesday morning in Atlantic and leading authorities on a high-speed chase faces multiple moving violations. The Cass County Sheriff's Office says a 54-year-old male resident of the Willow Heights Residential Care Facility was being held at the Behavioral Health Unit of the Cass County Hospital, but he was not placed under arrest. The man's name cannot be released at this time because of HIPAA rules. Officials say he allegedly stole a 2002 Dodge Intrepid belonging to John and Darcy Schwanke of Atlantic while the couple was fixing a fence near Willow Heights. The incident began at around 11 a.m. Tuesday. A chase ensued, ending on Highway 71 near Newport Road, when the driver of the stolen vehicle lost control and the car entered the east ditch. There are no injuries reported. The driver was subsequently transported to CCMH for evaluation. The van received 6 citations, including unsafe passing, 2 counts of failure to obey stop signs, reckless driving, excessive speed, and failure to maintain control. Additional charges are possible pending completion of the investigation. Officials say the Schwanke vehicle sustained an estimated $2,600 damage, while a 2009 Dodge Charger driven by Cass County Chief Deputy Sheriff John Westring sustained about $400 damage, and Westring attempted to stop the stolen car. Officials in Montgomery County say a stabbing of a Red Oak woman that occurred in the early morning hours on Tuesday turned out to be self-inflicted. Red Oak police were called to the intersection of North Broadway and West Oak Streets at around 4:30 a.m. Tuesday. Officers found 19-year-old Katie Perry lying in the street with a stab wound to the right side of her head. The woman was taken to the Montgomery County Hospital and then transferred to Allegiant Creighton Health, Creighton University Medical Center by helicopter. Perez later told personnel at the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation that she had inflicted the injuries upon herself. The interview followed an investigation by the Red Oak Police Department and DCI. A charge of making false reports to law enforcement may be filed at a later date on Perez. The investigation concluded at around 12:30 p.m. on Wednesday. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources says after a more than 2-year-long investigation, 2 Pennsylvania residents who were part owners of Whitetail Fantasies, a hunting guide business, have pleaded guilty to illegal deer hunting charges in Taylor County. Pursuant to a plea agreement, 48-year-old David Ricker of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, pleaded guilty to 1 count of illegal taking of an antlered white-tailed deer and 1 count of fraudulently obtaining a resident deer license. And 47-year-old Jeffrey Maley of Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, pleaded guilty to an illegal possession of antlered white-tailed deer. Through a jury trial, Ollie Odell Jr. of Bedford was found guilty of two charges of aiding and abetting of illegal taking of antler white-tailed deer based upon providing deer licenses and tags to out-of-state hunters. The defendants were ordered to forfeit the antlers and pay more than $22,600 in fines and liquidated damages, and they've been suspended from hunting or obtaining any licenses for 1 year. The state of Iowa is a member of the Wildlife Violator Compact, which is an agreement between participating states that prohibits a person whose hunting or fishing privileges are suspended in one state from participating in those activities in 38 other states, including the men's home state of Pennsylvania. Conservation Officer Andrea Bevington has been actively investigating cases of non-residents fraudulently obtaining resident licenses and illegal hunting game in Adams and Taylor counties. Changes in the residency laws were implemented in 2009 to identify a growing problem in Iowa of non-residents falsifying records to illegally obtain resident licenses. Bevington said the state of Iowa is known for their trophy white-tailed deer, and the natural resource attracts people from all over the U.S. and other countries. Unfortunately, those trophies sometimes draw individuals here who exploit the resource and break Iowa laws. Authorities are offering up to $10,000 for information that leads to the arrest of a man suspected of shooting a Sioux City police officer. Sioux City Police Chief Doug Young says the reward is for helping to find 22-year-old Jamal Dean. That's being offered by the United States Marshal Service and Crime Stoppers, as well as anonymous donations. Police say Dean shot Officer Kevin McCormick after a routine traffic stop on Monday. McCormick was still in his cruiser when Dean got out of the passenger side of his vehicle and allegedly fired a rifle several times toward the cruiser. Dean fled the area by foot and has been on the run since. McCormick was struck in the forehead above the eye. He underwent surgery and has since been released from the hospital. Elsewhere in the news, the City of Atlantic's enforcement of its minimum maintenance code has resulted in a reduced number of dilapidated houses and community involvement improving others over the past year, but there are some property owners who are or will be receiving not-so-friendly notices from the city to get perceived problems with their properties resolved. That was the word during Wednesday night's City Council meeting from John Lund, assistant to City Administrator Doug Harris.
The city's working aggressively to address dilapidated housing. From the $484,000 in community development block grant money that is going towards home improvements, to the voluntary compliance with minimum maintenance code notices, to our condemnation and demolition of abandoned properties, the city is trying to hit the housing problem at every angle.
Lund said the credit, much of the credit that is for improving the look of the city with respect to dilapidated houses goes to Atlantic residents Pat McCurdy and Jennifer McIntaffer, as well as CADCO, the Cass Atlantic Development Corporation.
This past year, housing has been a major focus of CADCO, and I discussed with them my concern about the city insisting on property improvements to property owners that have limited or no means to do that. And Pat and Jen took off with this and developed a program called Let's Paint the Town. And last year, three homes were painted under this program, and we hope to do three more this year.
Lund said many local businesses and groups also stepped forward to donate the paint and time for the effort. Other businesses donated food and beverages for the workers or discounted supplies, while other businesses donated cash for the project.
The people and businesses that gave their time, effort, and resources really demonstrate what this community is all about. And that is the best solutions are found in the compassion and generosity of the people of this city and not at the hands of the government.
On a darker note, Lund said there were more complaints this past year about nuisance properties. He said more abatement notices and bills mailed to property owners who were not in compliance with the city's minimum maintenance code, and when questioned by Councilman Steve Lavengood about a decrease in the number of friendly warnings given last year as compared to the previous year, Lund says he's not messing around anymore with the warnings after fair notice has been given to some repeat offenders.
I still like to think that I'm friendly, but at a certain point, when I've seen a name 8 or 9 times in a season, I realize a friendly reminder is just a waste of 44 cents in some paper.
So, some of those repeat friendly reminders are also addresses and repeat individuals.
Well, I'm not really doing repeat friendly reminders anymore. It's just jumping right to abatement.
And a public hearing will take place during a regular meeting of the Walnut City Council this evening with regard to an amendment to the fiscal year 2012-2013 budget. Following the hearing and discussion, the council will vote on adopting a resolution calling for a budget amendment. They'll also vote on a resolution on the issuance of $1.06 million in general obligation refunding bonds, Series 2013, and the providing of a debt service levy to pay for the bonds. In other business, the Walnut City Council will discuss this evening a possible streetscape enhancement project and the Optimist Antique City Car Show. They'll also review and update the city's infrastructure needs study and strategic plan. The Walnut City Council meeting gets underway at 5 p.m. And a reminder for you that there are several schools that have either delayed the start of classes this morning or canceled, and here's the current list. Atlantic is running 2 hours late this morning. Also, there was no walk-to-school program. Adair Casey had canceled classes for today. Audubon was running 2 hours late, and there is no morning preschool at Audubon. Boyer Valley and Charter Oak Ute are 2 hours late. Coon Rapids Baird canceled their classes for today. Corning is 2 hours late, and high school boys track there is canceled. Cumberland Anita Messina has now canceled classes. That is, as of just a few moments ago, Cumberland Cam had been running late, but now they have canceled classes for today. Elkhorn Kimbleton and Exira are 2 hours late. Griswold has also decided to cancel classes for today. That just as of a few moments ago. Again, no school in Griswold today or Guthrie Center. Nottoway Valley is still running 2 hours late. Villisca, Walnut, and Woodbine are 2 hours late. There's no Atlantic Little Lambs preschool today, and Atlantic Head Start is running 2 hours late. Again, the latest cancellations and changes in the school announcements, Cam has canceled and Griswold has canceled for today. And Nottoway Valley has just now canceled. Okay, that's another late addition to the school cancellations. Nottoway Valley has just canceled classes. I'll be back with the funeral announcements after this.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Dwayne Kaiser, age 88, of rural Lewis, died Saturday. Funeral services for Dwayne Kaiser will be held today at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Victor Nielsen, age 91, who's formerly of Walnut, died at the Risen Sun Christian Village in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Victor Nielsen will be held tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Richard Jorgensen, age 87, of Guthrie Center, died Monday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Richard Jorgensen will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Marion Hendricks, age 79, of Harlan, died last Friday. Memorial services for Marion Hendricks will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Marilyn Erickson, age 70, of Griswold, died Sunday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Marilyn Erickson will be tomorrow at 11:30 at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Melvin Pearson, age 85, of Stewart, died Tuesday in West Des Moines. A graveside service for Melvin Pearson will be held Friday at 1 o'clock at the South Oak Grove Cemetery in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Alfreda Lee Shaw, age 87, of Griswold, died Monday at Methodist Hospital in Omaha. Memorial services for Alfreda Lee Shaw will be held Friday at 2 o'clock at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. The Marr Livingston Funeral Home in Council Bluffs has arrangements. Dale Bloomquist, age 69, of Greenfield, died last Friday in Des Moines. A funeral service for Dale Bloomquist will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the First Congregational Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Clydie Bagshaw, age 93, of Messina, died Tuesday at her daughter Karen's home in rural Messina. Funeral services for Clydie Bagshaw will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Trinity Christian Church in Bridgewater. Steen Funeral Home in Messina is in charge of the arrangements. Dwayne Ernst, age 72, of Adair, died Tuesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Memorial services for Dwayne Ernst will be Saturday at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair has arrangements. Colleen Nelson, age 71, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Colleen Nelson will be held Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And John Swisher, age 86, of Harlan, died Wednesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. Funeral services for John Swisher will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.